Roberta, I love your participation with that video. That was amazing. And it is so good to see you and everyone else here with us today. Happy New Year's, everyone. We're glad that you're with us today. If you don't know me, my name is Henry. I have the privilege of being one of our pastors on staff. Great to be with you on this first Sunday in the new year. Perhaps you set a New Year's resolution to go to church. Look at you. You did it. All right? So feel good. Come on. Feel good about yourself today. You did it. You're here. You made it. Maybe you, like Nathan, put on some extra weight over the holidays and you've set some other goals, perhaps weight loss goals or financial goals or other types of goals. Around this time of year, we know people set all sorts of vision for what they want their lives to look like, and we know a few weeks from now they will fall short of all of them, and that's okay. It's nothing like a clean slate and a fresh start to try and develop these new habits in our lives. But how many of us know that what 1 Timothy says is true? Train yourself to be godly. For physical training, Pastor Nathan, hear me here, is of some value. But godliness has value in all things. Paul's writing to Timothy saying you can train yourself physically, train yourself in your body to be more disciplined, but actually godliness and godly discipline has value in all things and is far more valuable. And so what we're going to do over the course of the next 6 weeks as a church is we're going to talk about spiritual training and how we can develop spiritual habits. The title of our series is called Habits for a Weary Soul. Habits for a Weary Soul. As we come out of 2020 and move into 2021, I think what we need are habits, spiritual habits for our weary souls. I don't know about you, but I am feeling weary. 2020 has left me feeling weary. We're dealing with this extended pandemic. We're experiencing COVID fatigue and Zoom fatigue and social distancing fatigue and all sorts of other fatigue. And we're experiencing all sorts of challenges in our world, but we're experiencing personal challenges as well. Challenges at work, economic challenges, social challenges, personal challenges, maybe challenges in your own family and in your own lives. And most of us, if we're being honest with ourselves for just a moment, we're carrying this enormous weight all of last year. And I don't know about you, I was more excited to ring out the old year than I was to ring in the new one. I mean, I just couldn't wait for 2020 to be over because quite honestly, I felt like all year long, we collectively, and me personally, was carrying this massive weight, which was hard to burden, was hard to carry. It makes me think of the strongman competition. You guys are familiar with the strongman competitions? You see who is the strongest man. And they do these dumbbell exercises. They hold 200 pounds of them. They try pressing it 11 different times. Or maybe they got the deadlift and they carry 1,000 pounds and they hold it up. But my favorite one is the super yoke. This idea, this is Brian Shaw. He's the world's strongest man carrying what is about 1,300 pounds on his shoulders. And when you watch this, you see them. The goal is they've got to get about 13 feet. Now, 13 feet is not very far. In fact, I could walk 13 feet fairly quickly. But put this weight on your shoulders, and you watch these enormous, strong men struggle. And they walk slowly, like this, just step by step by step, grimacing with every stride to make it this short distance because of this weight that is on their back. I don't know about you, but that's how I felt over most of the last year, walking slowly and surely with this burden on our back. And I think some of us are walking that way spiritually as well. We feel this weight to try and please God and live the life that God has for us. And we feel this weight and burden weighing us down on our back. But I think Jesus has a better way. He has a better yoke, a lighter yoke for you and me to carry. Our passage today, which is going to frame the entire series, comes from Matthew chapter 11. And it's an invitation from Jesus for you and me to let go of these heavy yokes that we're carrying and to lift up and take on the easy yoke of Jesus. Matthew chapter 11, we're going to read verses 28 through 30. Read along with me. This is Jesus speaking, and he says these words. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Anybody here weary and burdened? Just me? Let's receive the words of Jesus for each of us. "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is an invitation from Jesus for those of us whose souls are heavy, who are carrying the weight and the burden of responsibility in our lives and in our world, who are carrying the weight of trying to prove ourselves good enough to others or to God, carrying the weight of trying to be sufficient enough for others or to God. And Jesus says, "Lay down those heavy yokes, put them down, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." Three things for us today, three things as we start the new year, three things that are invitations from Jesus to each and every one of us today. First of all, the invitation is to come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. We got to start here. First, we come to Jesus. Secondly, we're invited to learn from Jesus. He says, "Come to me, take my yoke upon me and you, and learn from me." We are to be students under Jesus's tutelage. And then lastly, not only do we come, not only do we learn, but Jesus says we are to rest in him. So come to Jesus, learn from Jesus, and rest in Jesus. Come to Jesus. Let me show you in the text. Verse 28 begins. Jesus says these words. He says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. Take my yoke upon you." Now, the image of a yoke is lost on many of us today, but we've got someone in the church who actually constructed for all of us who are preaching today a wooden yoke. In the ancient world, the wooden yoke would have looked just like this, and Jesus' original hearers would have known exactly what he was saying. A yoke, oftentimes in agrarian culture, was necessary because they would place the yoke over the neck of the oxen in order to be able to guide them and direct them and have them to be able to pull a heavy load more easily. And so the yoke would be placed on literally a beast of burden, someone whose task it was to move straight in a steady direction. And Jesus says, "I want you to take my yoke upon you." What Jesus is inviting us to do is to let go of the heavy yokes that we are carrying, these other burdens, these other things that we're holding on to, and actually to take his yoke upon us. The text says that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. The yoke is easy. That word literally means kind. When Ephesians 4 says, "Be kind to one another," that's the same word that's used here. His yoke is kind. Another way to translate it would be that it's well-suited. It fits each of us well. And Jesus is saying, "I want you to come to me, take on my yoke upon you, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and the burden is light." But in the biblical imagination, remember, we are not called to carry this yoke alone. Actually, oftentimes, the yoke would be placed over two oxen. One oxen on one side and one oxen on the other. Now, it was important that if you were going to carry a load, that both oxen were relatively the same size. So they would move at the same speed and same strength. Make sense? Right? So you got two oxen, one on this side, one on the other, moving straight in a direction. But notice what happens when someone else comes up here. I'm going to ask for a volunteer real quick. Peter, can I have you come up here real quick? I'm going to put my mask on for safety. I'm going to ask Peter. By the way, we're rolling deep in staff here today, guys. You see this, right? We've got Peter, Leslie, Nathan, Jim. We're all here, right? Now, Peter and I, we're roughly the same size and strength, right? You know, and so this is a helpful illustration. Peter, I'm just going to put this around our neck, and we're going to move together. And it makes sense because we're together moving side by side. Everyone give Peter a round of applause, okay? That's very good. Because Peter and I are relatively the same size, it was relatively easy for us both to pull this together. But now I want to call Michael to come forward. Michael's going to come forward. And Michael and I are going to yoke ourselves together. Remember, Michael, the invitation is to come to Jesus, right? And come to place his yoke upon you. Now, I'm not Jesus, but let's just use this as a metaphor, okay? And so you're going to come with me and you're going to place this yoke on me, with me. See, I'm much stronger than Michael. No offense, Michael. You look very strong. How old are you? For 10 years old, you look very strong. But I'm stronger than Michael. And so if we were actually pulling a load, let's take a couple steps together. I would be carrying most of the weight, right? And Michael would have a light yoke because I'm shouldering the burden with him. Michael, you can go and sit down, buddy. Give him a round of applause, everyone. In following the way of Jesus, it's not like me and you are equals with Jesus, like me and Peter, same size, stature, and strength. The image in the Bible is much more like me and Michael, that Jesus carries the weight. He takes on the burden, and he invites us to attach ourselves to him. Does that make sense? Come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let's not lose fact of the matter that Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. He doesn't say come to a system of beliefs and rituals. No, he doesn't say that. He says come to me. He doesn't say come to a list of rules and regulations. Before I became a Christian, that's what I thought it was. Rules and regulations. No, he doesn't say that. He says come to me. He doesn't say come and try harder and do better and strive more and make sure that you pull out this checklist and you go to church every single Sunday, including the first Sunday of the year, and you got to go at least 47 out of 52 Sundays to be able to earn good favor and to do better things than your neighbor. He said, no. It's not a list of rules and regulations. The image of Jesus, his invitation, is that of a relationship. He invites us to come to him and experience him personally. Christianity is not a list of rules or regulations. It's an invitation to a personal relationship with Jesus. Maybe you've been a Christian for a long time. You've known that for a long time. This is a good time for us to remind ourselves of what we are a part of. We are invited into a personal relationship with Jesus, a loving union with him. I'll illustrate it this way. My wife and I got married on May 25th, 2008. This is our wedding picture. This is the moment where our pastor stood before us and we made promises, vows, a commitment before God and before others to entrust ourselves to one another and to commit to one another for as long as we both shall live. But I wasn't joining the institution of marriage necessarily. I wasn't joining this contractual relationship with my wife. No, I was being affixed and attached to a person. I was joining myself to her. And so faithfulness to her is an outgrowth of our relationship with her, right? Fidelity to her is because I'm in relationship with her. I talk to her, guess what, all the time. You know why? I'm in relationship with her. I hear her needs. She hears mine. We do life together because we are in relationship with one another. The Christian life is about walking in the same direction, side by side with Jesus. Come to me. The first invitation for us today is to come to Jesus. Maybe you've been going to church for a while and you feel like being a Christian is about going to church. It's not. It's about being in relationship with Jesus. Maybe you take the sacraments and you've done Holy Communion and baptized and you think that is what it means to be a Christian. I say, no, not at all. The Jesus makes it clear. It's about coming to Jesus, to coming and joining a person and being in relationship with him. The first invitation for us today in the new year is to come to Jesus. But secondly, we're invited to learn from Jesus, to learn from Jesus. Jesus says this. He says, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Jesus is inviting us to learn from him. That Greek word for the word learn is the word mathete. Everyone say mathete. Good. Okay, it's the word where we get math. It's where we get the word math. You see, mathematics, it's right there. Mathete, it means to learn. And there's another word in the New Testament that's used all over the place, and it's the word disciple. It's the word mathetes. You see, it's a very similar root word. In a sense, a disciple of Jesus is a learner of Jesus. In fact, if you look at the most dominant title that the disciples and others called Jesus in the New Testament, they called him teacher over and over again, rabbi and teacher. This was their relationship. He was the teacher. They were the students. This is the posture of a Christian. We are like Michael and I walking side by side with Jesus, except we are there to learn from him, to walk in his footsteps, to follow in his way, and to go along his path. Because don't you know, the way of Jesus is very different than the way of this world. Jesus is gentle and humble in heart. Let me illustrate one way in which learning from Jesus is helpful for you and for me. In Luke chapter 5, it says, "The news about Jesus spread all the more, and great crowds came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses." So what's happening? Jesus' fame is growing. People are hearing about him. People are flocking towards him. And if this were me, and all of a sudden people were flocking here, and they were coming to hear me, and they thought, oh my goodness, I got to come to Henry. I want to hear him preach. I want to receive prayer from him. I want to receive healing from him. You know what I would do? First thing I would do, man, I would rent out a bigger building, okay? I'd say, all right, they're coming for me. They're coming. They want to hear me. They want to be healed. They want to receive God's power. We'd be renting out Nassau Coliseum like Pastor Steve said last week, right? It'd be like, let's get a bigger space to accommodate all of these people. That's what I would do. That's what most of us would do. But what does Jesus do? The news about Jesus spread all the more. Great crowds came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. Yet he frequently withdrew to the wilderness to pray. Man, I don't know, that is so different than how I'm wired, what I would naturally do. Jesus, receiving all of these crowds, knew that he needed to spend time alone with a God to sustain his work for God. And so he often withdrew, as was his habit, Luke says, as was his custom, to lonely and solitary places to pray, to come to God, to be with God, to spend time with God. I love what Howard Hendricks says. He says, if you don't come apart, you will come apart. That's good wisdom right there. If you don't come apart like Jesus came apart, you will come apart. You will come undone. I know this as a pastor. I've seen pastors, in fact, we've seen a lot of it in the news just this year, of pastors whose rhythms were unsustainable. Their life, their work for God was extraordinary and amazing, and large crowds coming to hear them, but eventually they became unraveled and came undone. So I know, coming into this new year, I need rest, I need refreshment, I need renewal for my soul, so that I come apart and I come away and I spend time with God as a part of my regular rhythm, so that I can rejoin and do my work for God. Some of us are running at an unsustainable pace. And if we don't come apart, we run the risk of coming apart. This is what it means to learn the way of Jesus. I like the way Ruth Haley Barton says it. She says this. She says, "I cannot transform myself or anyone else for that matter. What I can do is create the conditions in which spiritual transformation can take place by developing and maintaining a rhythm of spiritual practices that keep me open and available to God." I love what she says. I can't transform myself. I can't transform you. I know this, right? And yet we as the church, we are in the business of transformation. We embrace change. We want to see God come and his spirit come and change us from the inside out, make us look less like us and more like him. And yet I know I'm limited in my ability to change myself or to change anyone else. But what can we do? We can create healthy rhythms, spiritual habits that open ourselves up to God, to give him time and space to work in us and through us. That's what this series is all about. Learning the way of Jesus. Over the next 6 weeks, we're going to look at six spiritual practices. Meditation. Next week, we're going to talk about meditation. We often talk about prayer in terms of speaking to God, but what might it look like for us to meditate on God? And to meditate on God's word. Jesus says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. What if we slowed down long enough, sat still and quiet long enough to actually meditate on the words of God? How might that help us learn from Jesus? we're going to look at Sabbath keeping. You know, when the Sabbath was instituted, keep the Sabbath day and make it holy. It was one of the Ten Commandments. And when it was instituted, it was given to the people of God right after they had been released from slavery. I want you to think about that for a moment, because what he was giving them was a day off. In fact, he was requiring them to take a day off every week, one day devoted to God, away from their work, a day of rest with God. Now, when they were slaves in Egypt, what is one thing slaves can't do? They can't take a day off. They don't get a day off. They work, they work, they work. And one of the gifts of God is this gift of Sabbath, a day of rest unto him. You know, if a pastor normally doesn't keep the Sabbath, they'll probably get a raise. You know what I'm saying? It's like they're working hard and they're doing 70, 80 hours a week and everyone's really impressed with their work ethic. And yet I think the way of Jesus invites us to at times have these regular rhythms of rest. We're going to look at the spiritual discipline of secrecy. Jesus says, when you give, Matthew chapter 6, give in secret, so that your Father in heaven who sees you will reward you. We live in a culture where many of us seek credit, acknowledgement of what we have done. And Jesus is inviting us into this anonymous way of Jesus, right? This way of secrecy and seeking honor just before God. We're going to talk about simplicity. Do not worry about what you eat or what you will drink. How many of you, by worrying about these things, could add anything to your life? Instead, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. The way of Jesus is a way of simplicity, seeking his kingdom first and foremost and trusting him with everything else. We're going to talk about servanthood. Jesus modeled it for us himself. In John chapter 13, he got down on his knees, taking on the very posture of a slave. Indeed, the garb and the robe of a servant and a slave, the lowest task in that culture. He got down on his knees and he washed his disciples' feet. And he says, I have done this for you as an example to do likewise. And so Christians should be servants of all. This is the way of Jesus. Or how about friendship? We don't often talk about the spiritual discipline of friendship. But you know, Jesus says to his disciples, I no longer call you servants, I don't call you slaves, instead I call you friends. We were made for community and relationship with one another. This whole social distancing thing and, you know, Zoom relationships is very hard, it's very difficult. It's not how we were wired, not how it's supposed to be. So what might it look like for us to learn from Jesus in meditation and Sabbath? In secrecy, in simplicity, in servanthood, and in friendship. Maybe you're looking at this list and there's one or two that stand out to you, areas where you know you need to lean in, areas where you know God is speaking to you. You've not carved space for him to show up in these ways. Today, on our online service, there is a message being delivered by Ken Shigematsu. Now, Ken is the author of this book, Survival Guide for the Soul. And this book provided the inspiration for this series that we're in. The sermon online today will be at 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7. I want to invite you at some point today, if you're able, to tune in to the message that he's going to deliver. And even to pick up a copy of this book. We have several copies on hand, or if you email me, we'll get you a copy at the author's discount. It's just $10, and all the proceeds get donated to World Vision. Ken takes no royalties himself. But Ken's a pastor at 10th Church in Vancouver, British Columbia, and he has been sort of a mentor for me from afar, someone whose sermons I listen to and books that I've read. And about a year ago, I reached out to Ken, and I said, hey, Ken, I just got voted in as the new senior pastor of this great church on Long Island, and I'd love to speak with you and get some guidance and counsel. Now, Ken didn't know me at all, but he carved time for me to speak with me. And over the last year, we've gotten to know each other a little bit better, and I'm so grateful for his voice in my life, and quite honestly, his contribution to our church moving into this year. See, Ken reminded me that who we are is more important than what we do. Who we are is way more important than what we do. Who we are in Christ is way more important than what we do for Christ. And this is very countercultural and counterintuitive, but you and I, we must remain committed to learning the countercultural way of Jesus. Come to Jesus. Let us learn from Jesus. And lastly, let us rest in Jesus. Look at what Jesus says. He says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you will find rest for your souls. Rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How many people have seen the movie Soul? It's on Disney Plus. Anybody seen this so far yet? Several of you, okay? We watched this over the break with our kids. Some of you said, did you like Soul? Did you guys like Soul? It's a good movie? It's good. I thought it was pretty good. You know, Jamie Foxx plays this lead character of this person whose soul gets separated from his body. And it's actually not bad theology, you know, because biblically speaking and theologically speaking, you and I, we have a body and a soul. And what I liked about the movie is the soul was really the essence of who he was. It was his core identity was in his soul. And it was his soul that existed after his body was gone. As his soul, outlasted his body. His body was just the shell for his soul. You and I, we have a body and we have a soul. But as John Ortberg says more aptly, actually, you know, you and I, we have a body, we are a soul. We are a soul. Our soul is the most fundamental thing about us. It is the core and the essence of who we are. And long after each of us lay our physical bodies down, our soul will continue to live. And it will either live in the rest and the renewal and the delight and the joy of the presence of God, or it'll be cast away from God's presence for all eternity. And what Jesus is saying is that when you come to me, and you do away with these laws and regulations and these religious rituals, and you just come to me, and you lay yourself at my feet, and you lay your burdens at my feet, and you lay down your guilt, and you lay down your sin, and you lay down your shame, and you don't try and carry and shoulder the burden of your own sin and guilt and shame in your life, but when you come to me and you lay it down, you will actually find rest, not just for your body. You will find rest for your soul. I don't know about you, but I want to enter into Jesus' rest now. The rest that he's prepared for those of us who have faith in him and have trusted in him and received forgiveness in him. That is a rest that we will enter into one day, ultimately and forever in the presence of God. But the gift of Jesus is that we can enter into that rest now. Jesus came and he lived and he suffered. And he died, and he did it to give you and me rest. So what is the yoke that you're carrying today? It is the yoke of the pressure of being a good husband or a good father. It's a burden that's just weighing you down. Is it a financial yoke, a financial burden? You feel overwhelmed by the enormous pressures of trying to live on Long Island and raise a family here and pay taxes here and all those things. You feel that weight and that burden. Maybe it's a yoke of leadership. You're in a position of leadership, leading a company, leading a classroom, you know, leading a home, and you're feeling this weight and this burden on you. Maybe it's a yoke of a sickness or an illness, something you're dealing with day in and day out, and you're feeling the weight of this burden on you. It's the yoke of a loved one who's far from God. Someone you love, someone you care for, someone you pray for, and yet year after year, they're just wandering away from God and you're carrying that yoke, that burden on you. The yoke we all carry is a yoke of sin, of guilt, and shame. We're all born sinners and we're all sinners by nature and by practice. And our sin separates us from God. And so whenever you feel guilty or shame or any of that, it's because of sin. And this is a yoke that weighs us down. There are habits you can't break. There's addictions you can't break. There's things you can't get rid of in your life. There's deep, dark secrets and anxiety and fear and uncertainty and all these things that you harbor that nobody else knows about but God knows. And you're walking into this place weighed down and burdened and feeling all of them. And Jesus invites us to come to him, to give our yokes to him and to take his yoke upon us and to know that it will give us rest. And so here's the invitation today. You may have come in heavy. You may have come in weary. You may have come in burdened or overwhelmed. Lay down your yoke at the foot of the cross. Make your way to Jesus. Make your way to the cross where he paid for our sin and he paid for our guilt and he paid for our shame and lay it down before him. He went to the cross to shoulder our sin and to shoulder our shame. Isaiah and 1 Peter say that he took on his body, he actually bore, he wore, he carried on his shoulders our sin that would separate us from God. And so whatever sin, whatever guilt, whatever shame, whatever burden that you're carrying today, lay it down at the cross. Place it there and leave it there. And as a community, let us develop habits and patterns of continually, daily, regularly bringing our burdens before God and laying them at his feet. For his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Amen. Amen.